This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Conference 2022, held at Faith Builders from August 7 to 9.
So humility, what is it? Well, the root of humility is humus, which is another word for dirt. Which, I guess, explains why humans are resistant to being humbled, because it feels like we're turning back into dirt, and we don't like that. But while we resist it in ourselves, we find it incredibly attractive in other people. I guess dirt looks good on other people. Humble people are positively beautiful. It's not just that they're attractive, they're beautiful. There is a deep radiance in humble people that makes us stop and say, you know, there's something very special going on here. So what makes humility beautiful? Well, we could also ask the question, what makes beautiful things beautiful in general? I love many things about living in the city, but there are some disadvantages, and one of them is that beautiful sunrises and sunsets can be hard to find where I live, and I really miss that. But the other morning, I woke up early and got the idea that I'm going to go find myself a good sunrise. So I looked on Google Maps and checked out the sun angle calculator thing and found this spot where it looked like the sun would rise over there. And so I drove down there, and it was this little park that I'd never been to before down on the lower side of the harbor, a spot I'd never seen before. And I was rewarded with a breathtaking sunrise. And I got a picture of it here. Of course, it's not quite as breathtaking. But I got to thinking, as I was working on this talk, what makes a sunrise beautiful? Well, maybe one reason a sunrise is beautiful is it's different than the ordinary. We don't see the sunrise all the time, and especially where I am. So for me, it's very different than the ordinary. It's very special. It's kind of an oasis in a desert, if you will. And in this case, it's the tranquility of the sunrise against the backdrop of the city, a city that has plenty of chaos and evil, that makes this sunrise even more special. And its specialness reminds us that it's transcendent, that it's something that has its source outside of the ordinary. This is something very other than ordinary, and we know that it has its source in something that must be outside the ordinary. And we know, of course, that source is God. And that's why we can say that all true beauty has its source in God. And that's what makes beautiful things beautiful. And that, I think, is why humble people remind us of God, what their beauty really is. They are an oasis in the desert. They are markedly different than the ordinary. And they have a beauty that could not be their own. In fact, if they tried to make it their own, they would lose it. But it's a beauty that seems to glow from within and cause others within that room, kind of miraculously, to share in that beauty. It's not a beauty that draws attention to itself, but it's a beauty that makes the whole room and other people look beautiful all at the same time. On the other hand, proud people, they seem to snuff the light out of the room. And there's nothing more off-putting than a physically beautiful person who is arrogant, or a person with a false humility, a person who is trying to appear humble, always saying the right things to lower themselves, but you know that it's not real. So back to humble people with the beauty that could not be their own, we know that it must be someone else's. And that someone else must be Christ, the most beautiful person who ever lived. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Could we read this out loud together? Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant, and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point. Death on a cross. Okay, I will read this last part myself. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those that are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is Jesus, the most beautiful person who ever lived. So what is humility? We've described it as beautiful, as pointing to God, but what is it? Well, we look here at Jesus, and in verse 6, gives us the first clue. Who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So it has something to do with seeing ourselves in relation to God, seeing ourselves truthfully in relation to God. And Jesus here, who existed in the form of God, meaning that he could have thought, well, I must be God because I have something of God in me, but he saw that he was not God. And he did not consider that he should be equal with God, as did Lucifer, who thought, I will be as God, and lifted himself up. Jesus took a different approach. Humility is seeing ourselves truthfully in relation to God. And it's realizing things like, God created me. God saved me. God owns me. God sustains me. And God is infinitely greater, infinitely more perfect, more beautiful, more right about the way to live. And we acknowledge this with our lives in an attitude of surrender, and that is humility. It's acknowledging His greatness and my smallness, His authority and my need to come under that authority, His creativeness, my createdness, seeing ourselves truthfully in relation to God. Now, there's so many ways we could describe humility. I mean, I actually just spent way too much time overthinking this. The definition of humility. Okay, and this is where I ended up, but it's just so incomplete, actually. There's so many things about humility that there's a lot to explore, and it's really exciting. There is a book that I really liked, and it was Andrew Murray's book on humility. which I believe they have in the bookstore here. Andrew Miller, it's called Humility, the Beauty of Holiness by Andrew Murray. But actually, there was one thing that I don't like about his take on. I'll just say that right now. There's plenty that I do, and I really recommend the book. But what I don't like is the way that he says our goal should be nothingness. And I don't quite see that in the scripture, that God says that we're nothing. And it almost feels like Eastern religion to try to just sort of extinguish yourself as the goal. And I don't see that God created us to be nothing. There is actually a clear counterpoint to that in Psalm 8, where it talks about how God created us. Psalm 8, 3 through 6 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." And I really like this scripture because it does show the glory and the greatness of God in contrast with man, who is so much lower than God. What is man that you are mindful of him? But then it brings us so much dignity as it says, you did create us a little lower than the angels, the heavenly beings. You have given us so much. But it also shows that we are nothing without God. And maybe that's what Andrew Murray was really trying to say, is that without God we are nothing. But with God, we have something of God within us. We have so much. Without God, we are nothing. And if we realize that without him we are nothing, we have nothing we can claim for our own, and we can take credit for our own, that is humility. And you know, pride, as John Mark mentioned, pride is the root of probably all sins. And interestingly, the LGBTQ movement has chosen to use the word pride to represent their movement. And I suppose the reason they've done that is because of the shame that has tended to go with people that have made those choices, and they want to get away from that. But when they say pride, I have to think, well, really, they're right. It is pride. And it's pride in the sense that it's revolt against God. It's pride in the sense that they have chosen to define themselves in a way that holds themselves up against God, and in a way that God would say, that is pride, and that is the thing that I hate the most. And I think when God created us in the way he describes in Psalm 8, and he gave us so much, he crowned us with glory and honor, he made humans capable of so much, he probably stood back and said, is this going to work? What are they going to do with all that I've given them? Are they going to acknowledge me and be humble and say, give me credit for what I've given them? So while we are glorious in our createdness, we are so many millions and trillions of miles and light years away from the glorious beauty and perfection of God. He sustains us every second, just like it says in Colossians, where Christ holds all things together by the word of his power. By him all things consist. And we understand that to mean that if Christ wasn't holding us together, we would literally fly apart. And so every breath we take, every moment that we live, we owe to Christ probably consciously holding us together. So how can we ever rise up against him and call ourselves great, call ourselves God, and claim we don't need God? It's just an affront to to His grace that is present in us every second. And it's grace that is present in all people, not just Christians. It's everybody owes their existence to God. So it's when we trust God and we say, Lord, I owe you my life, and you are a big God capable of taking care of me. I trust you with my life. It's when we do that that then He gives us the freedom to be humble. Because if God is taking care of us, if God is holding us together, and if God has got our best interest in mind, we don't have to stand up for ourselves. We don't have to exalt ourselves. God will take care of that. So humility will spring from a heart that trusts God. They go together so closely. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." And that verse says so much. First, humble yourselves. It's something that we're called to do. Humble ourselves. And how are we able to do that? We're able to do it because we're under God, who is mighty. He is powerful. He is all-sufficient. He is able and big enough to take care of us so that we don't have to do it ourselves. So we humble ourselves under His mighty hand. And then He promises that He will exalt us. So it's not like we are extinguishing ourselves, never to return, but we have this promise that God will exalt us in due time. And it's the exalting is up to Him, it's not up to us. So when we humble ourselves in front of other people, when we feel like we're dying, we feel like we've just... You know, the credit that was due us has not been given to us. We've been passed over for a position or, you know, whatever else that we really feel like we're dying from. We realize that God is taking care of us. He will exalt us in due time. We're not missing out. And we're allowed to look forward to that reward. God wants us to. He wants us to know that He's got our back. And there is a security in that God-based humility, because it's the truth. Humility is realizing the truth about the way the world works, about the way that God has got this, and how we fit into that. Humility is not just some sort of mental lowliness that we sort of push ourselves into and say, you know, it's a helpful thing. I know I've got to be humble. It works better that way. So I'll try to be humble, or I will... You know, just be down on myself because that's the way I'm supposed to be. No, it is the truth. And it's the most solid truth there is. The truth is that we're under God. He takes care of us. And we don't have to look out for ourselves. This is Sir Edmund Hillary. Sir Edmund Hillary was a New Zealand explorer, the first to reach the top of Mount Everest in 1953. So he was doing that along with the Himalayan Sherpa friend and guide Tenzing Norgay. So Tenzing Norgay was a Sherpa, and the Sherpas were mountain people regarded by most Europeans as backwards and inferior. When they finally reached the summit, Hillary took a picture of Norgay. But Norgay took no picture of Hillary. Norgay says, "I motioned to Hillary that I would now take his picture, but for some reason, he shook his head. He did not want it." You would, you know, think he would at least take a selfie. Hillary would receive worldwide acclaim and knighthood. That's why he's a sir. Then he went back to the Himalayas and back to the Sherpas, and he devoted his life to helping them build schools and hospitals. Once a tourist group of mountaineers saw him and asked if they could pose for a picture with him. They didn't know who he was. They gave him an ice pick so he would look the part, fit in their picture. A passing climber, not noticing who Hillary was, strode up to him. He said, "Excuse me, that's not how you hold an ice pick. Let me show you." And the others watched, and they did know who he was. Okay, I got that part wrong. They knew who he was, wanted a picture with him. They watched in amazement as he let this man adjust his pick and thanked him, and then went on with the picture. That is beautiful. Somebody that felt no need to lift themselves up because they knew the truth. The truth about who he was. So what kind of difference does this underlying mindset have? Humble people are not boastful. They do not belittle others. They are not jealous. They are not proud. They are not rude. They are not vain. They are not possessive. They don't feel sorry for themselves. They are truthful. They will put themselves in someone else's shoes. They are not self-righteous. They will take anything in stride. They are not judgmental. They will not dwell in the past. And they are grateful. So many beautiful things that come from humble people. Humility is the foundation of so many other virtues. Just as pride is the foundation of so many sins, so humility is the foundation of so many admirable and noble qualities. Augustine said, "If you should ask me what are the ways of God, I would tell you that the first is humility, the second is humility, and the third is humility." He also said, "Almost the whole of Christian teaching is humility." And if you look at that book that I mentioned by Andrew Murray, he spends a lot of time talking about how the whole gospel is really based on humility. And it's the whole thing of Christ becoming a man, lowering himself, foregoing all status. That's the gospel. That is the good news. It's based on humility. And Christ has led the way, showing us this beautiful thing of humility. And if we live that, we're living the gospel. Humility could be called the queen of the virtues. Just think about how humility is behind a virtue like courage. Humble people can be the most courageous people there are because they know who God is and they know how they fit into that. They're not protecting themselves. Humility is behind honesty, the ability to be honest. Respect, obedience, generosity, patience, and we could just name many of them. So thinking about school and what we're doing with our children at school, I wonder why wouldn't our character education efforts with our kids at school start with humility, with teaching them humility? So I'd like to just do something here that we're not usually told to do. And let's think about other people and how much pride we see in them. It's really annoying, isn't it? People that resent criticism, that are insecure, that cannot laugh at themselves, who have a constant need of praise, who see themselves as being very special to God, somebody for whom God would bend the rules, somebody who enjoys blaming others, who hate taking the blame themselves, and have this insatiable need to prove themselves. There's just so much of that going on out there. And we could ask ourselves, what if all believers would consistently demonstrate the humility of Jesus? Then what a wonderful, beautiful, incredible place the church would be. wouldn't it? Amen. So now let's go fix them up. Let's go back to our classrooms and make sure our students have got this. Well, maybe not. So one of the things that really, really got me from Andrew Murray's book that seemed so true and so right is this thing of we've got to want humility. We've got to want it in a determined and a persevering way. And he says, we must long for humility in a determined and persevering way and try to find it. I think that was my words. This is his words. Let us study the character and teachings of Christ until our souls are filled with love and admiration of his holiness. Then we will be weighted down with a sense of our pride, and we will find ourselves utterly frustrated and unable to get rid of it. So here's what he just said. Let's want this like crazy. And then let's realize how impossible it actually is. And then let's get really frustrated. All right, so that would be a good place to be, because then we would feel powerless. Then that powerlessness would give us a chance to throw ourselves on God in reliance on Him. And when we have felt the necessity of that reliance, then we're a step closer to humility. Because this does not come overnight. And it does not come easily, but what has really hit me is that it is possible, actually, to be a lot more humble than I am. I don't have to just resign myself to being a proud person, which I think I've done. I thought I'll just admit that I'm proud. Okay, that would be helpful. Everybody's proud. I'm proud. We're all proud. We all struggle with pride. Yes, problem. Yes, I can admit to that. No problem. But as far as actually doing something about it, well, yeah, not too much we can do. But this message is different. It's if we want this, if we see how everything in the Scriptures is based on it, if we see how Jesus lived this, He expects us to live this. He wants us to be humble. He gives us the power to be humble. And He wants us to ask for it. He wants us to come up against ourselves and see how we can't do it and to lean on Him, because that's the whole point anyway, is depending on Him. And that's the right place. And when we get there, we'll have a lot long, we'll still have a long way to go, but we can be more humble than we are. So for teachers, humility comes naturally, right? As a teacher who has been around the block a few times, I thought about calling this talk, Humility and How I Achieved It. All right, so a classic study found that more than 90% of professors rate themselves as above average. And 2/3 believed that they were in the top quarter. So that math doesn't really add up. And the study's authors were a little discouraged because they were looking at this thing of improving teacher quality in colleges. But they concluded after this study that the outlook for much improvement in teaching seems less than promising. Yeah. And they go on to say, the finding is part of a broader phenomenon in psychology often referred to as inflated self-view. I'm sure that study was not done on Mennonite teachers because we have nothing to worry about. But you know, teachers, Mennonite teachers, all teachers, we are idealistic. We are an idealistic bunch of people. And I think that gets us in trouble sometimes, but we're idealistic. That's why we're teachers. We care about stuff. We care. We care about truth. We care about kids. We want the best. And this usually works out pretty well. We teach kids. We are passionate. Others catch the passion. We are appreciated and everybody lives happily ever after. Until it doesn't work out well. There's plenty of sad stories of teachers crashing and burning with their communities. Teachers with high ideals, plenty of vision and passion, and something didn't go right. And it's wrong to blame it all on the teachers themselves. But what if those situations could have been redeemed if those teachers would have shown an exceptional level of humility? Is this wrong to expect or to ask? Well, the scripture does tell us something about teachers. It tells us that not many of us should become teachers in James, because it says, you will be judged with greater strictness, which is too bad, isn't it? But that's what it says. But you know, teaching is a privilege. There's not many jobs that let you get up on your soapbox multiple times a day with a captive audience. If our egos are in need of stoking, there's plenty of ways to get it stoked during a day of teaching. And maybe that's why we're doing it. We get to hear ourselves talk a lot. And you know, though we do get tired of that, there are temptations to begin to believe the sound of our voice, to believe in our rightness, in our own unique value and goodness. It can be a trap. I suppose all occupations have those. But of course, teaching also gives us plenty of opportunities to grow in humility. We just look out there and see all the ways we've failed sitting there right in front of us. It's humbling. Back to what humility is. Humility is a strong grip on the truth, the way things really are. People who are humble, like teachers must be, are people with a clear view of who they are in relationship to God. We acknowledge that God is the source and the sustainer of everything that is good in us. Nothing that I have done that's good came from my own efforts. God gave me the grace every moment in those efforts. He gave me everything. We worship in response to that. And we teachers, we believe that we can find more humility. Jesus tells us if we ask, if we seek, if we knock, it will be given to us. This is something that God wants to give us. 1 Peter 5, 6 again, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. So let's throw ourselves on God. Ask Him for humility. whatever it takes, it's worth it. You know, I've been scared to ask God about that, to ask Him to humble me, because that could potentially be very painful. But it's worth it. It's so worth it. And it's so valuable to other people for me to be humble. It's worth the pain. Ask God for it. And then accept with gratitude everything that reminds us of our need for humbling. There's plenty of that around. Things, people that remind us that we're actually not that humble, that those irritations. Thank God for those reminders. Pray again. And in due time, God will exalt us.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769. Recordings from past events are also available at www.thedocforlearning.com.